Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Start with racism and sexism. Mix in religion, politics, and money, and then add a room full of strangers. That may sound like a dicey recipe for open and honest conversation, but J.C. Falk has crafted a thoughtful way to approach these hard subjects. It's called Circles of Voices. Since January, about 2,000 people from across Baltimore have participated in conversations facilitated by Circles of Voices. Now, J.C. Falk has been named one of this year's Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellows. Like the nine other fellows, he'll receive $60,000 over the next 18 months to fund a local project. The nonprofit Open Society Institute focuses on addressing the needs of Baltimore's underserved communities and supporting innovative solutions to longstanding problems. J.C. Falk, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Tell us how Circles of Voices works.
Basically, Circles of Voices is intended to have people from different cultural and ethnic backgrounds in the same room to speak about, talk about, engage issues that we normally don't engage, like openly engage, like racism, sexism, transphobia, homophobia. And we intend to have people from those different backgrounds in the same space so we can actually have them communicating across the barriers that we normally place between ourselves. So Baltimore, for instance, is a very segregated city. I'm from D.C., and D.C. is segregated also, but Baltimore is a whole lot more segregated than D.C. is. There's a huge white silo, huge black silo, and they don't cross-pollinate a lot. And so my intention is to have people from those different backgrounds coming together, and they do. So in Circles of Voices, we have people from all over the city coming together to sit with each other once a month, sometimes twice a month, to engage in diversity workshops where they learn about other people and break down the biases that they have of others.
Who are these people? Who comes?
Everybody. Like we.
Well, how do they get an invitation to come?
They're through a Facebook page mostly, and then we have an Eventbrite right now also. And so for me, I'm connected on many levels. Like so, after the death of Freddie Gray, I have been a firm activist on the ground in Baltimore. So I was out there on lines in rallies, angry really about the death of Freddie Gray and trying to do something on the street to address it and calling people out who were responsible for it. Then as an OSI fellow, and because of the diversity work that I do, I know people on other levels too. Like I do corporate diversity consulting. So I know people all up and down the line in there, up at the top and down at the bottom. So I invite all of them to come. So you may have someone in the session who is from Sandtown with his pants hanging off his butt, tattoos on his face, sitting in front of an affluent white woman discussing race. And that doesn't happen in Baltimore anywhere that I can see.
And I certainly wouldn't argue that that is not diverse. But on the other hand, anyone who shows up has an open mind. I mean, how much diversity are you actually capturing compared to the city?
Yeah, so some people would say that we're speaking to the choir. So
that's
you're basically
what I'm
saying
to
that.
Say.
So that's not. So here's the thing. So there's you and there's me here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you have biases. You just have them because you're a human being. Mm-hmm. I have them because I'm a human being. So some people may walk in and they may be very aware of their racial bias, but they may not be aware that they have biases against the transgender community. Men may walk in and they may not realize fully the impact that patriarchy is having on women. So it's all of us have work to do. So, and on some levels, the choir has been asleep. So it's my job to wake the choir up and start singing, you know, like, come on.
Like so how do you do that?
We did a session recently with the Baltimore Trans Alliance, and we have Ava Pipitone come in with us, and she co-facilitated, trans woman co-facilitated the session with me. There were like 90 people in the room, and half of them were transgender. It was incredible. And so what we do is we bring people together so they can see the people that they have the biases against or get in touch with their bias if they're not completely in touch with it and understand the impact that they're having on other communities. We had a session before that about the fragmentation of women's bodies. So men look at women and go, hey, you know, I'm a breast man or whatever they happen to be, and they don't realize that they're creating a world that's dangerous for women by doing that thing. So we bring people together to talk about things that they normally would not talk about very openly so we can move ourselves through these biases and prejudices that we have about other people.
It's J.C. Falk here on the record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. J.C. Falk is one of 10 new community fellows chosen by the Open Society Institute Baltimore. His project will be an expansion of Circles of Voices, which host discussions to tackle tough subjects like racism, class, and sexism. Have you ever had a discussion that went awry?
No. We've had some attempt to go awry, but I am a diversity consultant. I've been facilitating groups for 25 years, and I know how to create safe spaces for people. And it starts with ground rules, and it starts with everyone agreeing to the ground rules, like, you know, be respectful, like immunity. If somebody says something that's a little bit off, you know, to go after the problem and not the person. Don't attack people. And everyone agrees to these things at the beginning of the sessions. And it's been holding these sessions in a really safe space. It's my commitment to continue to do that. So for 28 sessions, we had maybe two sessions where it, you know, there was at least a possibility if someone was there who wasn't skilled at facilitating groups that it could have gotten really bad. But I am. And so it won't happen. They're very safe spaces for everyone.
I'm fascinated by the safe space that you talk about, because you're also talking about pain, a lot of pain that people are bringing to these conversations. And expressing that, it's hard for me to see how it's always going to be safe in terms of emotionally safe or comfortable for the people who are hearing it.
Yeah, but comfort and safe are two different things, right? So for me, I want people to be uncomfortable, because I don't think we start to grow and change until we get to that place. So if it's always going to be, if it's a comfortable conversation, I don't think you've gone far enough to deal with the issues that we're facing. If you come into a room and we're talking about transphobia and the entire 2.5 hour time frame is comfortable for you, then I haven't pushed you enough. I want you to get all the way up to the edge. Then I want to push you slightly beyond that edge so you can see the impact that you have if you're cisgender on the transgender community. So it's not about comfort. It's about safety. It's not about feeling good. Because if you walk into a room and you're a white woman, you realize, oh my God, I got these biases against black people, you're not going to feel good about yourself. I'm not committed to people feeling good. I'm committed to them doing the work so that other people don't suffer and die because they're ignoring their pain.
So when people leave an event, what do you hope that they walk away with?
Something new. And they do. Every session, they walk away with something that they didn't come into the session with. It's almost, I believe that you have to create discomfort in order for there to be change. You
discomfort.
Have to create discomfort. You have to create discomfort in order for there to be change. But that space where you create the discomfort, it has to be a safe space for the people who are willing to get into that uncomfortable place.
So let me pick up on this word that you keep coming back to. You keep saying the work, do the work. Some people are listening to this and they're saying, wait, you're talking about talking. Talk, talk, talk. Actions speak louder than words, and you're not, where's the action?
So there's action too. So hopefully when people learn about this, they get into action. So for instance, there's plenty of things that you could do on the ground. So I do things as an activist on the ground. I go and I get involved. Like after connecting with the transgender community, when they go out on marches and rallies now, I go with them. I'm in their marches with them. I was not going on their marches 6 months ago. So I'm out on the street with them, chanting with them to have this world be safer for them. I'm cisgender. You know, I'm not transgender. I go with them. And see, really, after all is said and done, like around patriarchy, if patriarchy is ever going to get dismantled, it's going to be men who dismantle it. If racism is ever going to be dismantled, it's going to be white people like you who are going to dismantle it. Why am I working so hard to dismantle something that you all created? You created it and you continue to benefit from it. And then I'm working so hard to dismantle something that's causing me the pain. It's your job to dismantle racism. It's my job to dismantle patriarchy. So when you realize something, when you learn something, it's time to jump in and get active. So I did it in the transgender community. I did it by going on their marches with them, by bringing them to Circles of Voices, by having them have a safe space to express themselves in a space of equity, where they can just be fully human beings and not be their bodies.
So what will it mean for Circles of Voices that you have this OSI community fellowship?
It does a couple of things. It infuses some resources in for me to continue to do my work. I was doing the work mostly out of my pocket, and I will continue to do it in any kind of way that I can. But it certainly helps to have a couple checks coming in to offset me taking my household budget and making this work happen. I've just committed my life to this now. Like after the death of Freddie Gray, it was slightly before, but after the death of Freddie Gray for sure, I will be doing this work for the rest of my life. So being an OSI Baltimore Fellow, it gives me a platform, an additional platform to spread the word about Circles of Voices.
One of your goals is to take Circles of Voices to other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked about the extent to which you've already done that, but do you have a plan to really sort of be on the ground on a continuing basis in other cities?
It's done. This Circles of Voices that we just did in LA was our second Circles of Voices. We did one about 6 months ago there. And looking, we're going to Chicago in January and looking at other places. So it's really, right now, it's already spreading out to go to other places. It's firmly rooted in Baltimore right now, and it's getting firmly rooted in LA, and we're opening up other territories as we speak.
It's very impressive. I wish you luck. I hope it goes well.
Thank you, and I appreciate you inviting me in for this.
I appreciate your coming. J.C. Falk is a recipient of a 2016 Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellowship. For the next year and a half, he'll be working to further his project, Circles of Voices. J.C. Falk's Twitter handle is JCFALK_COV. We've got that at the On the Record page at WIPR.org, as well as a link to the website where you can learn about Circles of Voices coming events. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Hope your day is terrific and that you'll join us again tomorrow.